Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Paryastam Nandaya Satya. Snana Punya Tarodaya. Vilokya Bhute Shagiram. Vibhudha Vishmaya Yayo. Paryashtam. Surrounded. Nandaya. By the Nanda. Satyaha. Of Sati. Snana. By the bathing. Punyatara. Especially flavored. Udaya. With water. Vilokya. After seeing. Bhuta Isha. Of Bhutesha, the Lord of Ghosts. Lord Shiva. Girim, the mountain. Vibhudha, the demigods. Vismaya, wonder. Yayuhu, obtained. Translation, there is a small lake named Alakananda in which Sati used to take her bath. And that lake is especially auspicious. All the demigods, after seeing the special beauty of Kailash Hill, were struck with wonder at the great opulence to be found there. Purport. According to the commentary called Sri Bhagavata Chandra Chandrika, the water in which Sati used to bathe was Ganges water. In other words, the Ganges flowed through Kailash Parvat. There's every possibility of accepting such a statement because Ganges water also flows from the hair of Lord Shiva. Since Ganges water rests on the head of Lord Shiva and then flows to the other parts of the universe, it is quite possible that the water in which Sati bathed, which was certainly very nicely scented, was Ganges water. I'm going to read several other verses related to this without purports, and then 25 is where we'll end. Text 23. Thus the demigods saw the wonderfully beautiful region known as Alaka, in the forest known as Sogandika, which means full of fragrance. The forest is known as Sogandika because of its abundance of lotus flowers. Purport. Sometimes Alaka is known as Alaka Puri, which is also the name of the abode of Kuvera. Kuvera's abode, however, cannot be seen from Kailash. Therefore, the region of Alaka, referred to here, is different from Alaka Puri of Kuvera. According to Viraragava Acharya, Alaka means uncommonly beautiful. In the region of Alaka, the demigods saw, in the region of Alaka, the demigods saw There's a type of lotus flower known as Sogandhika that distributes an especially fragrant scent. Text 24. They also saw the two rivers named Nanda and Alakananda. These two rivers are sanctified by the dust of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda. No purport. Text 25. My dear Kshata Vidura, the celestial damsels come down to those rivers in their airplanes with their husbands, and after sexual enjoyment, they enter the water and enjoy sprinkling their husbands with water. Purport. It is understood that even the damsels of the heavenly planets are polluted by thoughts of sex enjoyment, and therefore they come down in airplanes to bathe in the rivers Nanda and Alakananda. It is significant that these rivers, Nanda and Alakananda, are sanctified by the dust of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, just as the Ganges is sacred because its waters emanate from the toes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, so whenever water or anything in touch with devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is purified and spiritualized. The rules and regulations of devotional service are based on this principle, : anything in touch with the lotus feet of the Lord is immediately freed from all material contamination. Paragraph. The damsels of the heavenly planets, polluted by thoughts of sex life, come down to bathe in the sanctified rivers and enjoy sprinkling water on their husbands. Two words are very significant in this connection. Rati Karshita means that the damsels became morose after sex enjoyment. Although they accepted sex enjoyment as a bodily demand, afterwards they are not happy. Another significant point is that Lord Govinda, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is described here as Tirtha Pada. Tirtha means a sanctified place, and Pada means the lotus feet of the Lord. People go to a sanctified place to free themselves from all sinful reactions. In other words, those who are devoted to the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, automatically become sanctified. The Lord's lotus feet are called Tirtha Pada because under their protection, there are hundreds and thousands of saintly persons who sanctify the sacred places of pilgrimage. Sri Narottama Das Thakur, a great acharya in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, advises us not to travel to different places of pilgrimage. Undoubtedly, it is troublesome to go from one place to another. But one who is intelligent can take shelter of the lotus feet of Govinda and thereby be automatically sanctified as the result of his pilgrimage. Anyone who is fixed in the service of the lotus feet of Govinda is called Tirtha Pada. He does not need to travel on various pilgrimages, for he can enjoy all the benefits of such travel simply by engaging in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord. Such a pure devotee who has implicit faith in the lotus feet of the Lord can create sacred places in any part of the world where he decides to remain. Tirti Kurvanti Tirtani. Bhagavatam 1.13.10. The places are sanctified due to the presence of pure devotees. Any place automatically becomes a place of pilgrimage if either the Lord or his pure devotees remains or resides there. In other words, such a pure devotee who is engaged 100% in the service of the Lord can remain anywhere in the universe, and that part of the universe immediately becomes a sacred place where he can peacefully render service to the Lord as the Lord desires. Omagyana timirandasya gyananjana sarakaya chakshura miditam dina tasmai shri gurave namaha. We're hearing detailed description in this chapter about the abode of Lord Shiva, and that's pretty rare. We hear about Lord Shiva and the extent of his opulences, as stated already in the earlier part of this chapter, is inconceivable. It's not approachable or encompassable by ordinary beings. That was the conclusion of the demigods. The scene is the Daksha Yajna has taken place, and the brutal scene that followed has taken place. The demigods go to Lord Shiva, go to Lord Brahma, requesting what to do. This terrible thing happened. Brahma and Lord Vishnu did not attend the yajna because they understood in advance what was going to happen. As Lord Shiva understood in advance what was going to happen, they also understood. They didn't go. So the advice is given to the demigods. Lord Shiva is easily angered, but he's also easily pleased. Go in a very humble mood, approach him, beg forgiveness for all the things that have happened, and he will forgive you. And not only he gave them that advice, but he went with them. There's a very beautiful painting. There's probably more than one, but there's one very special one. Under a very large banyan tree, Lord Shiva is on this side of the picture, that the devatas are scattered under this very deep, dense forest picture. Lord Brahma is over here. They've come to appease Lord Shiva and converse with him. And the chapter is describing the opulence, the beauty. Not opulence as in Vaikuntha or Dwaraka, but the opulence of simplicity and beauty. Something more like Vrindavan than like Dwaraka, but filled with natural beauty. And the details you've been hearing, the birds and the trees and the flowers and the fragrances and the sounds of the birds and just abundant and natural beauty, like a celestial realm. It is a celestial realm. I'll cover some of the points that are mentioned here. The Alakananda Lake is a place where Sati used to take her bath. Used to because she's gone. She left. She incinerated her body, engulfed her body in flames. So she's gone. But at the inner abode of Lord Shiva, there is a particular lake where she would regularly bathe. And comments are being made in the purport that this is Ganges water. So the Ganges flows throughout the universe, and particularly as it was entering this universe, it was captured by the hair of Lord Shiva. It's not ordinary person. He has not ordinary hair. It's not ordinary hair. Besides being long, it is mystical. It could hold the crushing flow and weight of the Ganges River, and he held it in his hair. So some parts of that which came out of his hair formed this lake. So as the Ganges is touched by the lotus feet of the Lord, the lake in Mount Kailash is also Ganges water. And the forest by the lake, the whole region is called Alaka. And Alaka has a forest that there's a forest of lotuses that are very, very fragrant, a special type of lotus that's very fragrant. And so the forest is known as the same name as the flower, Sogandika. Comment is then made about Alaka can mean sometimes Alaka Puri, which is the capital of Kuvera. In the Nalakuvara and Manigriva description, later on in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, it's the beginning describes that Narada was going to see his friend, Lord Shiva. Narada is on such a level of devotional service that one of his friends is Lord Shiva. But we find that Chitraketu, he also had a similar relationship of friendship with Lord Shiva. So he's not this, he's approachable. He's not just high and mighty, he has friends. So Narada was one, and when Narada came to visit, he visited at Kailash, and the description is given that Kailash is part of Kuvera's kingdom. And Kuvera, being a very ardent, elevated devotee of Lord Shiva, he had requested Lord Shiva to remain in his special garden. Knowing that Lord Shiva likes natural beauty, he requested him, such a beautiful garden, please, please accept this as your residence. And so, for some time, Lord Shiva did. But Lord Shiva has a number of residences, and so he stayed there for some time. It's not a, at least the indication is given by our acharyas, it's not like he only has one residence. Prabhupada explains, wealthy people, they have multiple residences. So Lord Shiva has multiple residences. He doesn't just stay in Kailash. So when Lord Brahma and the demigods are going to pay a visit or pay their respects to Lord Shiva, they go to the place where it's Alaka. But the forest of Kailash, and it's on a hill, and the capital of Kuvera, they're distant. They're not visible from one place to the other place. So our acharyas have concluded this statement, Alaka, does not refer to the capital city of Kuvera, but it refers to rather uncommonly beautiful region. And this uncommonly beautiful region has uncommonly fragrant lotus flowers. And the whole area is surrounded by river, two rivers, Nanda and Alakananda. Those that have been to Mayapur for the visiting the holy places, maybe you can recall the Alakananda tributary, one of the tributaries of the Ganges. It's near what's the place, Murari? Because you were there. The place where it's the temple of Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu in one deity. Remember that? Huh? Long time ago. Harihara Kshetra. The part that I remember specifically is you wanted to take pictures and I was putting my hand in front of your lens. Yeah. Yeah. On one side, Lord Shiva, and the other side, Lord Vishnu. On this side is Lakshmi, and that side is Parvati. Hari Hara Kshetra. And just down the hill, little sloping area, is the Alakananda River. So one of the tributaries of the Ganges. So as there's this water in the lake, Alaka, there's Alakananda River and the Nanda River. These are also sanctified by the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it's described that not exactly like what Nala Kuvera and Manigriva were doing, but not too far away from it either. The celestial damsels, of course, the focus is at this point upon the wives of the demigods, or the residents of the heavenly realms. But, you know, you could look at it from the other perspective. The husbands, along with their wives, went to these very special celestially, especially fragrant, especially beautiful area. It's like, you know, a resort. A resort amongst the heavenly realm. And they went with sexual desire and they engaged in sexual activity and then bathed in the river, splashing one another afterwards. So Srila Prabhupada makes several comments. One of them is, it's specifically said that after doing so, after indulging themselves in sexual enjoyment, they didn't feel happy. And a second point is that this is the nature of material pleasure. In the beginning, it looks like enjoyment, happiness in the mode of passion. In the beginning, it looks like enjoyment. In the end, it's misery. And that mode exists even in the heavenly realm. And the consequence also exists in the heavenly realm. It looks really good. At the end, it's filled with suffering. not happy at all. And that this is the nature of, like people ask, you know, why do demigods do some of the, like Indra, you know, what's wrong with this person? You know, what to speak of attaining heaven? He's the king of heaven. And look at some of these things that he does. There's this one, there's that one, there's the other one, and just like keeps doing it. So, it's the nature of, there's the heavenly realm, it's sanctified, but there's still material desire. You know, if there wasn't still material desire, then one would just go to Vaikuntha. As long as there's material desire, then one will take birth again in such places. And because there's material desire, and there's all this opulence, then the tendency to try to enjoy in that atmosphere of great material opulence, even amongst very pious people, it will come out, and it comes out. And so there's a distinction, a very important and worthwhile distinction between heaven and the kingdom of God, or between a pious person and a pure devotee. Of course, as devotees, we understand this, but sometimes it's a little difficult to explain it to others who don't understand it, because they don't want to understand it. Because they want to enjoy and think, what's wrong with enjoying? Just do it nicely. What's wrong? It's natural, etc. So the way that Srila Prabhupada is addressing this is from a word in the verse, is Tirtha Pada. Tirtha Pada refers to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, and thus it's a name of the Supreme Lord. It also refers to devotees, pure devotees who are 100% absorbed in the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. So the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord can sanctify, and thus the place of pilgrimage, that's another Tirtha Pada, place of pilgrimage sanctifies those who go there because the Lord has sanctified. But then devotees who have been sanctified by taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, they can also sanctify any place, and that place becomes sacred, pure and sacred, just by their presence and suitable for their devotional service to the Personality of Godhead, because of the devotion that they carry. I'll elaborate on that a little bit. In the seven, when Srila Prabhupada established ISKCON Inc., and according to the laws of the state of New York, you have to have an Articles of Incorporation. So with the Articles of Incorporation, you have to state the purpose of the organization. So Prabhupada, in writing, established seven purposes of ISKCON, and they've become famous and important within our society. And one of them is establishing places of pilgrimage of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Well, my goodness, how can we establish? They exist. We can go there and go on pilgrimage to those places, but how do you establish new ones? Kishore Kishori, Supreme Personality of Godhead and His eternal associate, His pleasure potency. This is their place. So we've established a place of pilgrimage. Here's Tirthapada, one whose lotus feet sanctify the place and make it, and thus make it a tirtha. And there's also the kirtan. Even if Kishore Kishori, or before there were installed deities, the kirtan hall sanctified everybody, the kirtan performers and the kirtan listeners, and the devotees themselves, because of that consciousness of taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, they became sanctified and thus became capable of establishing tirthas. Just as the reference is being made from Canto 1, Chapter 13, Text 10, famous verse, it's a verse in which Yudhisthira Maharaj is receiving Vidura, who has been on pilgrimage for many years, and he comes back from pilgrimage, and he's honoring his uncle, his father's brother. His father was Pandu, and Pandu's brother was Vidura, the uncle Vidura. He's honoring him as a perambulatory place of pilgrimage, because wherever you go, you sanctify that place, and that place becomes a place of pilgrimage. And why is that? Because of it, just as described here, because of his 100% absorption in the service of the Personality of Godhead. In fact, in that connection, Prabhupada explains that when sinful persons go to places of pilgrimage, poor place of pilgrimage, people just dump their sinful reactions, and it makes a big stockpile, big sin heap, like a garbage heap. So saintly persons go to pilgrimage places to relieve the pilgrimage place of the burden of sinful reactions that are piled up. Like Lord Nityananda went on pilgrimage, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the holy places of pilgrimage, ostensibly searching for his brother, but going to sanctify the people throughout South India and North India also when he went to Vrindavan. And sanctify the holy places. And ceremoniously, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur established shrines where Lord Chaitanya visited these places to sanctify the places. So he established a shrine that just has, it's not a deity, it's just the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya in a little shrine. You can see in many of the places where Lord Chaitanya went. Personally, Bhaktisiddhanta installed these with the understanding that by Lord Chaitanya's presence that the place is sanctified. There's a passage in Chaitanya Bhagavat that's described, where it's described that where Lord Chaitanya stepped, he was walking, and the people understood his divinity, or his the elevated stature, at least, of Lord Chaitanya. And so they would take dust from that place where he put his feet. But there were so many people taking dust that there were big potholes every place he stepped. Understanding that now this is sacred, where he's placed his lotus feet. I was just hearing Srila Prabhupada yesterday, listening to some recordings from classes in Vrindavan, and he was speaking like that about Vrindavan. Because the place is not different than Krishna, the dust of Vrindavan is not different than Krishna. And where Krishna and where the gopis have walked, it's sacred. So people go to Vrindavan and take dust. It's just dust. But it's not just dust, it's Vrindavan dust. Brajraj. The dust of Vrindavan is sanctifying. And those that have been to Vrindavan and walked upon the dust of Vrindavan know what that's like. It has an exhilarating effect. That's my realization anyways. It's after spending some time doing pilgrimage in Vrindavan, just the dust on your feet, it's like a spiritual intoxicant. It's like that. You don't want to take a bath. You do want to take a bath, but you don't want to take a bath at the same time because it's so spiritually elevating. Just the dust of Vrindavan. And it's not imagination, it's true. Narottam Das Thakur, therefore, says in a little, not sarcastic, but like in a strong way, don't go on pilgrimage. Just chant the holy name and serve the pure devotees. Just chant the holy name and serve the pure devotees. And immediately, you don't have to go to this place, that place. Just chant the holy name and serve the pure devotees. And by so doing, one will become sanctified. One will become so sanctified that that person's contact can sanctify others. That's how Lord Chaitanya, it's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, how Lord Chaitanya spread Krishna consciousness in South India, just without all the detail. As he would encounter someone, and they would hear from him the chanting of the holy name, they would be filled with ecstatic love of God. And that person would then go to their village and tell the people in their village about Lord Chaitanya and their experience and chant the holy name. And by hearing from that person, the persons in the village would become ecstatic in love of God. And they would then turn tell others, and they would become ecstatic in love of God in this way, like electricity. The whole atmosphere was filled with love of God from one to the next to the next. So by contact with the lotus feet of the Lord in the form of the holy name and in the form of his pure devotees who are at the lotus feet of the Lord, at the lotus feet of the Lord there's thousands and thousands of purified souls serving him, worshipping him, glorifying him. And one can get the contact of such a pure devotee of the Lord. One becomes sanctified and purified. After continuing to remain in that position at the lotus feet of a pure devotee of the Lord, serving, getting further sanctified, then one goes completely beyond this position of what we're experiencing here in the fourth chapter, where the sanctified place is being seen by a certain demigod, certain residents of the heavenly planets, as worthy of enjoyment and indulging in sense gratification, instead of becoming fully, taking the full benefit. So let us learn from this to follow the path of Rupa Goswami and strive to become fully purified by the sanctifying benedictions that are being given, because otherwise the lingering tendency of sense gratification can pull us down into gross material enjoyments or subtle material enjoyments, but stuck in the material existence foolishly, unfortunately, not only wasting our time but in engaging in just foolish activity instead of taking the full benefit of the sanctifying potency of Krishna's holy name and the worship of the deity and the association of devotees and fulfilling our mission and going back to Godhead. or engaging in service for Krishna wherever he may wish us to go, such a situation, Narayana Paraksarge Nakutascha Nibibhyati Svarga Apavarga Narakeshu Apito Yarta Darshanam, where as long as there is devotional service to the personality of Godhead, we're prepared to go heaven, hell, or liberation, or whatever. When that attachment to service, humble, loving service to the personality of Godhead in any circumstance, that's transcendental to the heavenly attainments. That's our teaching. It's part of what is in this message right here in the Bhagavatam that we're reading. Okay, so we'll end there. See if there's any discussion. Go ahead. Consciousness. Not the other kind, like merging, but consciousness. Your thoughts. And upon the lotus feet of the Lord can literally mean the lotus feet of the Lord. It also implies a mood of humble service. Like the first two cantos of the Bhagavatam are the lotus feet of the Lord in its literary form, the Lord's literary form. So, in those first two cantos, we're being given the lotus feet of the Lord, the approach, not yet the lotus face of the Lord, but the lotus feet of the Lord, very clear teachings of taking shelter of his feet and in a mood of serving him. Absorbed in the lotus feet of the Lord. Second question.
Do you have any Tirthakara pilgrimage place? It is much easier than having faith and instilling faith in the Tirthakara body that's present. Many times we've experienced this.
Sure.
But as much as we place faith and approach place, but as many people comment on that, so when you're existing with a certified devotee, then how do I know if it's people that have faith in it?
Well, people that live in Vrindavan can also, get like you're speaking about in the association of a Tirthapada devotee. Think, oh, it's a place to make money or it's a place to do something. And it goes on. So, in both cases, maintaining a reverential regard as a protection from taking away. The protection from familiarity is a reverential regard. Just like, so we're sitting here and the altar is way up there and the altar is way back there. So when we're worshiping the deity, we're, it's whoa and whoa and whoa, and they're way up there. And then the pujaris, they can't like address the deity standing back here. They have to get very close to the deity. So when one is associating very closely with the deity, there must be a proper regard of reverence and respect, because otherwise invariably one will make offense. Starting with mental offense and going into the other offenses, and therefore one should be very reverential in approaching the deity, especially in our purifying stages. You know, the spontaneity of worship of the deity is inappropriate at our stage. But reverential. So same with a Tirthapada devotee. We need such association, and yet when we get such association, the risk is there of committing offenses due to familiarities, out of one cause. So continue to maintain respect. That's an internal, and then the external. It's not just formalities, it's expressions of respect. Like something, here's an example, something that Prabhupada trained the devotees is when, it's right from Nectar Devotion, it's scripturally authorized, but whenever coming into the presence of the spiritual master or leaving the spiritual master, Prabhupada taught pay obeisances. So however many times, coming, going, that one pays obeisances. That can be a nuisance. we're having that meeting yesterday, and every time I was reluctant to walk out of the room, because if I did, then I'd walk back in again and have to go through all that stuff. So the circumstances, that's not appropriate. But in principle, maintaining respect in that way. But there's a little anecdotal. Anyway, many persons who became Srila Prabhupada's servant fell down because of that familiarity factor. One devotee was sharing with me, he was asked, somebody fell down, Prabhupada doesn't have a secretary, or personal servant rather, would you like to be his personal servant? He said, no way, I'd love to be Prabhupada's personal servant, but I see what happens when you become Prabhupada's personal servant. Really good devotees, and they fall down because they become familiar. No way. I'll serve Prabhupada from a distance. Well, yeah, but somebody's got to do it. Okay, somebody's got to do it, and I'm not that somebody. Okay. Yes. Can you ingest it? Depends on how strong is your digestion. You're certified by Jai Jagannath. Huh? Yeah. In principle, yes, but our capacity, it's not just not literally what your digestion power is, but spiritually what your digestion power is. I mean, Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, he ate mud from the bank of the Ganges sometimes. Sometimes he just fasted. But, we tried to do that. You'll be in the hospital. I can say personally, I was inspired by something that I read, and I was in Mayapur and during our GBC meeting, I remember specifically taking water directly from the tap. And that, then after that, I went into the onto the Navadvipa Parikrama out in the hot sun. I had a sunstroke, and I, you know, that's when my health was totally shot. Because it's Ganges water. Right? It's Ganges water. Dust from the Mayapur and Vrindavan and Ganges water. Or another devotee, an American devotee, I was in Vrindavan with him, and he got a cut in his foot. So, you know, he was, you know, walking around in Vrindavan. Within a week, his foot was swollen double, and his leg was swollen, the lower leg was swollen almost as much. By the time he got back on an airplane, he was delirious. He was hospitalized for about 2 months because something besides Brajraj got into his foot. You know, if you ate that, you know, good luck. You can put it on your head. If you don't have a cut in your head. Okay. Okay. Anything over here? Okay. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada.